The following program is pre-recorded.
Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Jim Sullivan was an entertainer. He was married and he had a young son. He left California for Nashville. Jim had $120 in his pocket and he drove straight from California to Santa Rosa, New Mexico. On a March day in 1975, Sullivan took his VW and drove away from Santa Rosa after spending the night out into the desert, and he disappeared forever. Days later, after he was reported missing, police found his car. It was abandoned in the middle of nowhere. Inside his car was his guitar, wallet, luggage, and date books. Also, there were a few copies of his latest release, UFO.
Shaking like a leaf on a desert heat. His daddy's got a bang that's so hard to beat. I bought me a ticket, got a front row seat. I'm checking out the show with a glassy eye, looking at the sun dancing through the sky. Did he come by UFO? Did he come by UFO?
Did he come? Jim Sullivan. A lot of people think perhaps he was abducted. Did he have a meeting with the ETs? Strange things happen in New Mexico. New Mexico has probably more stories about UFOs and high strangeness than any state in the Union. As you know, we do a lot of shows from New Mexico. We're going to do a show tonight on this program that is really, truly groundbreaking. The old term breaking news is for sure on this story that Paula Harris has come forward with. We'll be talking to two witnesses who were young boys in New Mexico when they witnessed a UFO crash, even saw the ETs inside the craft. It happened in 1945. That's right, almost 2 years before Roswell. We'll get into all of that, but first of all, let's welcome Paula Harris to the show. And Paula? You've been hanging around Boulder. You've not been moving around
yes,
much.
Yes, I just finished my fourth book, and I had to stay put.
Paula, I don't think we can overstate the story. You've really come up with what I would consider the story of the century. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit of how this came about, how you got into this.
Pretty impressed, too, Jerry. This is probably the second biggest story I've covered. The first one was Colonel Philip Corso. And, you know, that was the Roswell anniversary of 1997, and he for me, changed the whole, sense of ufology because he talked about the back engineering of alien technology. Well, you know, this is the second one, and it's another New Mexico-type situation. It's a crash that happened in 1945, 2 months after the atomic bomb testing on the Trinity site. And of course, you know, people look at San Antonio, and it's not San Antonio, Texas, it's San Antonio, New Mexico, realize that it's very close to the Trinity site, to ground zero, something or somebody was watching all of that, and because of the intervention of two little Hispanic boys that lived in that area, we have another eyewitness account of a UFO crash. And the amazing part about this, Jerry, is they not only saw the craft crash, they walked up to it. They were about 200 yards away from it, and they saw the beings inside. And to add to this, one of the little boys, the older one, Jose Padilla, 9 years old, when he sees that the craft is unattended on a flatbed truck, runs up to the flatbed, opens up the tarp and goes inside the craft and pulls off.
Paula, I talked to both of them, Jose and Remy, and we recorded the conversations. And let's play right here, right now, them talking about how they got this piece of the UFO. Listen.
At one time, we sneaked out, Remy and I sneaked out there on the horses again to go and wash. And they had five men imposed there, five soldiers imposed there. One of them was imposed, and the four were working on that craft. Trying to fix up, they built an L-frame to set up on a lowboy trailer to hold it away. And they worked on that for almost a week. But we used to go there a little late in the evening and watch from top of the hill. And I noticed that four of them used to get on their jeep and go and take off to a bar that used to be called, still the Abo Bar and Cafe, to have fun out there. And one of them used to stand poster. And it happened that they had loaded this piece of crap, you know, on a lowboy trailer. That last day that they were there, I remember, it was a Saturday. And we stayed there a little later than usual. And I noticed that there, all five soldiers jumped in the jeep and took off to the bar. At that time, we waited about 30 minutes. We hopped on our horses and ran out down to the where the trailer was. And they had a tarp over it tied down. Remy went and ahead and untied the rope from the tarp. And I hopped in that trailer and went in through that hole.
What did you see in there?
Nothing. It was clear, except for one thing that was in there. There was a panel. There was this piece of material that looked like a handle that I tried to yank it out, and I couldn't. So I jumped off the trailer and went over and got a bar, they call a shooter bar that they tied the chains on a trailer. I went over and stuck that bar underneath there and ripped that thing right off.
How big of a piece was it?
Oh, but 14 inches long.
What do you think it was used for?
At that time and at times and now, I think how it was mounted on that panel, it was like a radar mechanism that they would operate with to handle that sheep.
Jose Padillo in California and Remy Baca up in Washington State at Gig Harbor. Paula, you actually spent some time at Remy's. That's a strange name.
Remy, Remigo, and it's short is Remy. He moved away later on in life, went up to Washington State, and he probably will tell you he spent a lot of time in Washington State politics, and he couldn't talk about this story for many years. His wife is Roman Catholic and did not believe in UFOs and thought they shouldn't touch it. Until they had a sighting in 1994, and then his wife became a believer. She, you know, she saw the UFO over their house. In my interview with her, she talks about being emotionally, connected, and that she started to cry because it was such a shocker. The craft was right over their house at a very low altitude, and that helped her with this. With, you know, digest this whole phenomenon, and it was then that Remy could talk about it in a public format. And of course, he had already talked to Jose Padilla. They had found each other after many years, and they both had made a decision to come public.
Yeah, but we mentioned you went up to Gig Harbor.
I happened to be in Washington State for the ESETI conference, the James Gilliland situation, and I just went up to Gig Harbor from there. But I wanted to tell you that, you know, the way I got the story was another man had contacted me because he had written to me and on internet and told me that his father was the pilot that flew the bodies out of the 1945 crash. And then I began to ask, well, what crash in 1945? And this person sent me his father's documents, his father's picture, and then gave me the telephone number of Remy Baca. And that's how I got in touch with him. You know, I said, "He, you know, is this true? Was there something in 1945?" And then he talked to me for a long period of time. He began to trust me, and we made a decision that we would work together to release the story.
Paula, do you mind if we get back to the core story and pick it up where Jose and Remy saw the ETs and the crash?
No. What Remy and Jose saw after the dust cleared, because they saw there was a big storm in New Mexico. I hope they talk about this, because we have the lightning storm. It also happened during the Roswell crash.
One of the first things I noticed about the story that really got my attention. It caught my attention.
Yeah, it caught mine too, because I know that's a problem. It interferes with the navigation system of these craft. And there was also a radar tower there, really close. So whatever happened that caused this avocado-shaped round craft, the crash is very, very important. And then the two little boys slowly walked up to it you know, and with binoculars looked inside and saw three creatures that Remy describes as floating instead of walking, back and forth. They looked like they were floating.
August 16th, 1945, when Remy and I mounted two horses, and we ran into a heavy thunderstorm. So we dodged down underneath some rocks, and we heard a sonic boom. And I looked back at him and asked him, "It must be another bomb test, you know, just because a month before that, they had just tested that first atomic bomb. July 16th.
I asked them if they heard an engine noise or anything, and Remy and actually Jose replied that, well, listen.
No, it's just like a sonic boom and like a lot of metal scraping the ground. We mounted the horses again, and we seen some smoke coming out of the other reach, and so we mounted the horses. We went over the hill and came out on the other side, and we seen this big object. The ground was smoking, weeds were burning. We stopped there. A wedge on the ground cut sideways. I have a feeling that there used to be a tower, some kind of a radio tower at Italian Peak, which is about 3 miles north from there. I believe that lightning was the one who contacted that, and they hit the tower, you know, and that's what made the big hole in the side. We got down to about probably about a football field long, 210 yards probably, except that it was so hot there, you know, and smoky that we could hardly see much. We've seen, through the binoculars, I seen inside there three young men, you know, creatures, just walking back and forth real fast, squeaking, sashaying from one end to the other. What we could see through that hole, you know. They look like a, because we were young kids then, they look like a red ant standing up, with Campamocha. I don't know if you ever heard that word.
Campamocha is a like a praying mantis, big eyes, you know. Yeah.
So they were insect-like.
Well, the head was.
The head looked like that.
So as you heard there, Paula, they seem to think that the UFO hit the tower rather than the lightning bringing it down. However, I've heard that the radar itself was used as a weapon, you know, affecting the avionics and knocking these UFOs out of the sky. Have you ever heard that story?
Well, I haven't heard that, but I did hear that it was very dangerous for these craft, and that Colonel Corso, when he was head of the missile battalion in Red Canyon, was asked to shut his radars down during certain times of the day. And to shut them down meant because they were having problems. That's when he had his sighting, when he didn't shut it down one time, and then he had that contact experience.
Paula, let's mention again the location. This Padillo Ranch was close to White Sands Missile Base, and actually very close to where they tested the atomic bomb.
Because they'll, if you ask them, they'll tell you how they lived through the bomb blast. I mean, I think it was Rennie whose bed went from one side of the room to the other, and I think it was Jose whose mother was half blinded by the...
Yeah, she was looking out the door, and the flash came off and injured her eye, actually blinded her.
And they didn't tell him that's what was happening. They made up another story about the proof.
I mean, years later, they still weren't admitting it was an atomic blast. They were saying it was an ammo dump.
So they never told the inhabitants how
I'm truly surprised these two guys are still here. I mean, that place had to be covered with radiation.
And they said at that time that San Antonio, the city, had a very small population. I don't know, you know, exactly 300 or something. So it's a very small town.
Paula Harris is our guest. And Paula, we've had the prelude kind of set up the show. Next, we're going to get into the body of the program and really cover some of the details. That's coming up next on the Jerry Pippin Show. Investigator and author Anthony Sanchez.
The name of the book is UFO Highway. I found that although I was diverging into multiple areas of UFO research, I kept finding myself back on the same road. And I found that all these different aspects of ufology were interconnected. So I decided to call the book UFO Highway.
This is the book that could not wait for a regular publisher. It had to be released now. The information is so sensitive, so shocking, so well-researched. Colonel X comes from the dark shadows for the light of truth. The inside story of Area 51 and the challenging truth about extraterrestrials. Now on sale. For information and to order, go to UFOHighway.com. It happened in the late afternoon. A very heavy thunderstorm pounded the mesquite and greasewood-covered desert west of old U.S. 85. This is where now Milepost 130 is located, the San Antonio exit on Interstate 25. It was a far different time in that part of New Mexico from what it is now. The Patello Ranch, isolated and close to the White Sands testing ground, which sprawled out like a giant tarantula in the desert, holding secrets that still exist today, somewhere deep in the archives of the Pentagon. No one knew, except for the Army, which launched a recovery operation looking for the crashed UFO. At least that's what the officials thought at the time, but no one knew but them. But there were two small boys, 1-7 and 1-9, Remy Baca and Jose Padilla. They watched from a nearby hill. They had seen the crash of the craft up close and personal. They even saw what was inside, something these boys kept to themselves for decades. Extraterrestrial creatures with big eyes, and they were squealing in pain like injured jackrabbits in the desert. However, there's more to the story, and we have investigative reporter Paula Harris with us. She's on the line from Boulder, Colorado. Paula, this story with these two men now in their 70s certainly backs up the idea that UFOs have been investigating nuclear activities by the United States and other countries for some time, all the way back to World War II. You know quite a lot about this story. You even spent some time up in Gig Harbor, Washington with one of the men, Remy. I mean, you even had that mile marker location down pat.
Yeah, near there. But I think they have 180,000 acres on that ranch. You know, so it isn't, like, easy to find. The thing is, too, that they were thinking, you know, even in the future, to get involved with the city of Socorro, New Mexico, and have, you know, maybe the piece that they took in a museum there, or have this story planted there in Socorro, so that people all over the world, and kids, and you know, people that are interested could have a place to go to look at this.
You know, Paula, this entire area of New Mexico is full of UFO stories. I mean, you know, have you heard about Lonnie Zamora, the the police officer who saw the Sikora UFO? I'm sure you have. And that's not very far
that's
from
right.
there.
You need to ask Grummy about that because they knew who Zamora was. And I think that you had even talked to him because this is all connected.